Welcome to Voices of Freedom.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's great to have you here this morning. We're always excited to talk about Jesus, and it's just a great day. You know, the weather's up and down, and there's all kinds of crazy out there. But at the end of the day, there's one that's going to control it all from the beginning to the end, and there's one that's going to take us out of here to a place called heaven one day. So at the end of the day, we need to really just relax and let this thing go, because God knows what he's doing. God's in charge of all things, and it all works out for those that are in his will. Now, if you're going a different direction, or you're not interested in God, and you don't think that God's got a plan for you, you might want to pay attention here to this lesson today, because the title of it is Jesus First. And I used to see some things around town that said, Jesus is my co-pilot. And you know what? I believe their intentions were probably pretty good on that. But let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is nobody's co-pilot, okay? Other than God the Father and the Holy Spirit, he's a tri-trinity, or the triune God, or whatever you want to say. He's one God that works in three persons. But at the end of the day, there's nobody equal with God. And it says there in Exodus chapter 20 that not only is no one equal with God, but if I put something or somebody or something in my life ahead of my worship of the Lord, I'm going to be in deep trouble, okay? Because God's a jealous God. He's not going to put up with that. I've read in that Bible where it says that if I make an image, and I try to worship an image, and we saw him do the golden calf there when Moses brought him out into the wilderness. We've seen all kinds of crazy out there. I mean, there just truly is all kinds of crazy going on in this world. And at the end of the day, it's not that hard to put Jesus first, because Jesus first is going to... Excuse me. Jesus first is going to change the way you think, which is awesome. It's going to change the way you react to others, which is awesome. It's going to change how you see other people. You're going to see your own blessings and how God's carried you up to a certain point. Because the wages of sin, the Bible tells me, are death. Okay? So there's where we're at, you see. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So guess what? The wages, I deserve death because I'm a sinner. I deserve death because I had all kinds of stuff in front of Jesus till I turned 30, right? But then I couldn't go any further, and I had to surrender to Jesus. And when I surrendered, then some good things started to happen. Amen? Some good things started to happen when Jesus Christ came on the scene. Now, what's the point of all of this? Well, the point's really simple. When God started taking over my life, and I put Jesus first, a lot of the things that needed to go were able to go, and I didn't think it'd be possible. I told you all a million times on here, I couldn't get a sentence out of my mouth without a cuss word in it. That's just the way it was. Now, as I go on through life a little bit and I start to see just all the things that God has done and the way he's lined things up and the thing that there's a peace, and we talked about it, Rick Crow preached on it and taught on it in Sunday school, there's a peace that passes all understanding, okay? There's a peace about this thing, because I look around and I see the troubles, and I want to help. I mean, I signed up to run for political office. Lord knows that's about the most filthy thing you could ever do. But why do you do it? Because there's something about if Jesus could get back into schools, if Jesus could get back into government, if Jesus could get back into our community, and it changes one person, then it's successful for Jesus. It's successful for that person, you see. And then other people might get saved. Other people might look and say, wow, I remember when Lunsford was a raving lunatic. Now he's saved. So guess what? You see where we're going with that? Because that's how Jesus works. It's not how I work, because I don't have the power to save anyone. It's not my master plan, because I could talk to you till I'm blue in the face, and you're not going to want to follow me or be like me. But with Jesus, it's different because Jesus gives us a Bible, okay, God's inspired word, which means what? It means it came from God. It means that if I read John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So now all of a sudden, it starts to make a lot more sense. God gave us a little bit of himself in the form of the Bible to help us to make an educated decision about coming to Jesus Christ. If I come to Jesus and I surrender and I tell him, I know I've realized I'm a sinner, and if I tell him that I have realized, you see, I've realized some things, Jesus. Number one, here was the kind of sin I did. Now, I don't have to detail my sin to you. You don't have to detail yours to me. But we should be able to tell Jesus when we're asking him to save us a little bit about what's wrong with us. I don't know if I can get by with a blanket, I'm a sinner. But that's your prayer. You pray it however you want. But my prayer would have been, Lord, I am a sinner. But Lord, I've done this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And I don't know how this is going to go, but I cuss every breath. You see where I'm going with this? It's not me telling God so God's going to know my sins. It's me telling God so he knows that I have recognized that I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the very definition of sin. So at the end of the day, in the things that God wants us to be doing, he wants to be first place. What does that mean? Well, the first thing of a morning I try to do this lesson. Why? Because it helps me keep Jesus first in my life. Because I tell you what, if I go a few days and I don't do it, I can just feel myself just kind of getting powerless. You say powerless? You get power from reading the Bible? What I do is I get recharged, and I keep the thoughts of what Jesus wants me to think on close to the top of my mind. So therefore, I'm doing the things Jesus wants me to do versus the things that the world or the devil or the worldly crowd wants done. Does that make sense? Because if I'm the guy that's out here and I'm going through all these motions and all this crazy's going on, follow me? If I'm doing all these crazy things, I'm not where God wants me to be. If I'm jumping on people all the time and fighting it out with people all the time, now I'm not saying don't be bold for Jesus and don't stand for the things he wants, because I mean I take a lot more than I'm going forward, I'll be honest, on this abortion thing and some of these other issues, because, you know, if you can't read it in the Bible and understand it, you know, quit talking about it. You know? Quit talking about it and do something about it. But that's another story. But Jesus wants to be first in your life because his plan's better than your plan. Now, when you're young and you're energetic and you're just getting out of high school or getting out of college or you're sitting down with your family and you're making this master plan in life, when all these other things are going on, you see, you'd have a tendency to think, hey, you know, I'm doing this my way. And if you watch an Army commercial and they say, be all you can be, or if you watch the Nike commercial and it says, just do it, or be like Bo, or whatever the slogan is, that's the way that our materialistic society is programming us to be. And there's nothing wrong with ambition, because we got to be smart, we got to have a job, we got to eat. You see, so there's some good things about it. So at the end of the day, where are we in all this? Well, you're going to put something first in your life anyway. Some people put their job first, and really, you know, I see from my wife's job, you know, sometimes it's hard not to put your job first because they dominate you. But if she'll keep Jesus out there and she'll pray and she'll think on Jesus, maybe this work schedule will ease up some, you see. Because I tell you, work can kill you. Work can ruin your life. Work can take you away. You know, we get into so many things. Maybe my hobby is messing me up. You see, there's just so much to sidetrack us in this world. We talked a little bit about the technology yesterday. I mean, you know, I do it because I got business coming in on my phone. I do it because all the news of the day is on my phone, whether it be world news or sports news or something. I mean, there's always something live and happening right now on that phone. Well, that's a real tricky thing if you really stop and think about it. there's a lot to that. There's a lot of, you know, if you study it out and you start to look, the distractions, well, the devil will do anything he can to distract you from believing and understanding that Jesus needs to be first in your life. See, all this other stuff just passes away. You know, I had yesterday morning it started, and it was even going into last night. It was like, how am I going to get what I need to do done in the next 2 days? Because I got to go to two classes later in the week. I'm like, how am I going to get this done? Well, guess what? Woke up this morning, started this lesson, and it's already eased up. And you say, well, you're just making it up. Well, I'm not making it up because I was still thinking, how are we going to get all this stuff done and be at school by 3 o'clock because we got ball practice today? You know, there's a lot of pressure we put on ourselves. And then when we get over there and we start reading in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, around verse 22, we see that there's love, joy, and there's a peace. See, as I become more and more like Jesus and Jesus works in my life more and more, guess what starts to happen? It doesn't take very long to realize that God's plan is better. God's time frame is better. God's reward plan, his retirement plan, his eternity plan, it's all better than anything I can come up with. So now what do I have to learn? I have to learn to be happy in the situation that I'm in right this second. Why? Because right this second, I may be going through something. Something may be ripping my heart out. Something may be breaking my heart. Something might be making me mad. Something might be making me happy or sad. Or, you know, I may be looking forward to this boyfriend-girlfriend thing, and then it doesn't work out. And, you know, and I get so emotional and so caught up in it. But if I've got a peace that passes all understanding, if I've got the peace to know that Jesus is in control, that he's going to send the right man or woman, whatever you're looking for out there, one man, one woman, one lifetime. So just chill out on your thinking there. But whatever God's master plan is, whatever he wishes to do, whatever his plan for your life is, it's all just temporary down here. But it's eternal in a place called heaven. So is God capable of making you a rocket scientist? He sure is. But do you like science? Is he able to make you a millionaire? Well, there's lots of millionaires that aren't happy. You say, well, everybody that has money says money is not important. There's just as many miserable people with money as there are without money. You see? But if you find the Christian out there, you find the person who can be happy, find that person who's with Jesus, find that person that's got a joy and a peace about them that you can't even understand, generally you'll see that's because Jesus is first in their life. You see, at the end of the day, all of the silliness is going to pass away. At the end of the day, all of this aggravation, all of the clouds, all the mystery, all the gamesmanship, all the world's games pass away, and it's just you standing before Jesus Christ one day. And at the end of that day, what's the deal? What will you do? At the end of the day, it's just you and Jesus. What will you do? Is Jesus important to you today? Well, church it and everything. Church doesn't save you, and that's true. But I tell you what, somewhere you're going to praise the Lord if you know him. And if he's delivered you, this program every morning is for me to praise the Lord. How many listeners do you have? No idea. We've had, I think, in the whole time of this thing, and it's been years, I think one thing was up to 50-some thousand and one was up to 100-some thousand. But you know what? The most important listener today to this program is Jesus, because he is seeing what's in my heart. He's seeing what I want to say about him, and he knows what I'm telling you is true. And that's the beauty of what's going on there. There is so much happening. There's so much going on in this world. Man, oh man. Don't get sidetracked. Don't think that you just pick Jesus up anytime you want. Don't put him off too long, because probably what's wrong in your life, I know what was wrong in my life was that Jesus wasn't out front. So I'm saying to you today, could it be that your life has the problems that it has because Jesus is not out front? You say, would Jesus give me a new job? I have no idea. What can you do? How about that? See, because that's the thing. We get saved sometimes, and we want all this stuff. Jesus gives you eternal life. It's a guarantee. But Jesus can't help the education decisions that you've made. He can't help your past failures. For example, if you've never been to medical school, he's probably not making you a doctor. If you haven't been to law school, he's probably not making you a lawyer. If you're not good at math, he's probably not going to make you an engineer. So those are the things that I still have to live with, all the things that I've done. I don't carry them around, and I don't lament over them or cry over them. I don't sit around and say, well, if I hadn't done this, I'd have done. You know, what I do when I get saved is I go on, but I go on with Jesus Christ living in my heart now. You ever stop and think about that? I'm going on with Jesus living in my heart. And Jesus starts to make the changes. He starts to put himself first. And the more I read the Bible, the more I study, and the more I want to know about Jesus, the more he opens it up to me. Got a great example of some guys at church now. They started teaching a little bit 6 months ago, and now they want to teach more, and now they want to teach more and more and more, and they're more excited, and they continue to be excited about Jesus. Now, what's got them excited? It's not Brooke Lunsford. It's not their church, because they've been going to church for years. The thing that's got them excited is they got into God's Word. God has them motivated. He's got them excited. He's got them pushing forward to learn and learn and learn, and then share what they have learned. See, there's what we're missing with Jesus Christ. If Jesus isn't in your life, he's not teaching you anything. He's not cleaning you up. You're probably not reading his Bible, right? So if I can just make a few changes, if I can get Jesus into my life, man, oh man. If Jesus comes into my life, now all of a sudden some things start to change. If Jesus comes into my life, I don't have to worry about forever. Listen, isn't that really the ultimate thing, is what's happening forever? Not what's happening temporary. Not why my head hurts today. Not why I'm sick today. Not why my heart's broke today. Not why I'm mad today. But in the whole scheme of things, isn't eternity what we're most concerned about? If you put Jesus first, your eternity is guaranteed. That's pretty awesome. Have a great day.